This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest, the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Good evening, this is Rob Cash, your host this week on People Speak Radio. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 805-399-1000. That's 805-399-1000. And entering the access code 769608 when prompted. Or if you have a computer or smartphone, you go to bbsradio.com. Navigate to Station 2 and click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests, toll-free, USA, Canada, 1-888-429-5471. Tonight, our guest is Ernest Gallo. Ernest Gallo is the author of Liberty and Justices. He's also the president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. Ernie is a survivor of the USS Liberty attack by Israel. That's right. An American ship was attacked by Israel on June 8th of 1967 during the Six-Day War in order to try to, draw the United States into a war with Russia or draw the United States into fighting Egypt. We don't know what the pretenses are, but Ernest, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Great. Let's start out with what happened, Ernest. What did you see happen that day? What was your recollection of it? And what is your theory of it also?
Okay. The USS Liberty was an intelligence ship, and we were sent there initially by NSA to be the eyes and ears of the United States. We were not there to spy specifically on Israel. We were there to monitor the situation. We had Russian linguists on board as well as Arabic. And the various languages, that are spoken there. And, you can imagine if, a Soviet, was flying an Egyptian plane, we would want to know that. That was our mission to vacuum the ether with our antennas. And to see what was going on. However, the war started on June 5th, and by the time we arrived, by the time we could physically get there, it was June 8th. And by that time, Israel had taken out all the air forces of Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. So they had complete air superiority. And they had taken the West Bank and the Sinai, as well as Gaza. So our mission now was really uneventful, you might say. The NSA was nervous about us being 13 miles off the coast, and they told the Joint Chiefs to move the ship 100 miles from shore. As things were changed so rapidly that, you know, our mission was unnecessary to some extent. But we never got the message. I personally investigated the fact that, or traced that message, and I found out that it did really bounce all over the world. And it just never got to us in time. we arrived on June 8th, the morning of June 8th, and it was a beautiful sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. And early in the morning, Israeli planes began to come out to the ship and look us over. We counted 12 overflights that morning. We were kind of curious as to why there was so much attention being, why so many planes would fly out to us. But they were friendly. They were Israeli. And therefore, we were kind of at ease with the situation because we were between Gaza and the Sinai, which Israelis controlled. So we felt we had there was no danger of, let's say, an Egyptian aircraft or ship bothering with us. And the other point that I'd like to make is that the USS Liberty was not a man of war. In other words, we did not have the cannons or missiles or anything that an offensive ship would possess, like a destroyer or a cruiser, battleship or whatever. The USS Liberty was a World War II cargo ship converted into a intelligence ship. So our armament was 45 antennas from stem to stern. What the Israeli pilots saw that morning, because we felt we could relax, those that were not on duty would do what they typically did, and that was sunbathe. So if you can imagine these pilots flying over, seeing these guys and sunbathing on beach chairs and towels all over this military ship. It was out of the pages of McHale's Navy. After 2 o'clock, or I should say about 2 o'clock, the Israelis decided enough was enough and they wanted the ship taken out. And I should say the person that wanted the ship taken out was Maish Dayan. He gave the order to attack the Liberty. So,
wow.
we have recovered a CIA message now that states that he was the he gave the order, and in fact there was a Israeli general in the room, and he made the comment. He said, "This is pure murder," which it was. The attack was in three phases. The first phase was three fighter aircraft that strafed the ship and killing about, I believe, seven. And they shot at any body that moved out on the top side on the outside of the ship. They concentrated their fire on transmit antennas and portholes and took out our helmsman, took out the bridge, and continually seemed like forever, strafing the ship. And then that followed with two fighter bombers that dropped napalm bombs port and starboard. So now that the top side of the ship was engulfed in flames, we put out those fires eventually, and I believe two more sailors were lost in the process. The next phase was torpedo boats. There were three torpedo boats that came at us, and the torpedo boats dropped five torpedoes in the water. Our captain masterfully dodged four of the torpedoes, and we took the fifth torpedo on our starboard side, putting a 40 by 25 foot hole in our side, and that killed 25 more So the Israelis killed 34 of my shipmates and wounded 174. But two-thirds of the crew were either killed or wounded.
And these were our so-called allies. And these are the people that we've been protecting for years upon years after that. And I guess a lot of Americans don't know what was going on. But it seemed that Israel was preemptively creating the war in 1967. It was on a preemptive attack against everybody. So I can't see why they would attack the ship that belongs to an ally.
Well, you have to go back to those times. This was the Cold War, and we were constantly playing tit for tat with the Soviets and the Soviet countries, communist countries. Brezhnev had called Johnson, and Syria and Egypt were their client states, and since the Israelis had taken the Sinai and taken out their air forces, the Soviets were very worried that the Israelis were going to go for Damascus and Cairo. So Brezhnev told Johnson that if the Israelis made a move to send troops, in those areas, they had paratroopers at the ready, and that the Soviets were going to get into the war. So Brezhnev wanted, Johnson to get to the Israelis and tell them to come to the peace table right now. So that was kind of the background on June 8th. Now, the Israelis had a war plan, and they shared that war plan with the Pentagon and the State Department and CIA before the war started. So, when we arrived on June 8th, they had basically accomplished what they set out to do with one exception, and that was the Golan Heights. They hadn't taken the Golan Heights yet. And I guess Ma'ish Dayan was worried that, we were going to intercept military traffic that, indicated that they're now moving troops, I guess, from the Sinai or out of the Sinai over to the Syrian border. And if that word got out, the Egyptians could counterattack and take back the Sinai. So, secrecy was an absolute necessity. And, I guess they felt threatened that we were there. And besides which, they had told the, they sent a message, telling the Pentagon that they should move the ship out of the area. As I said, that was sent a day before, and, we just never got the message. So I guess they felt either threatened or they had to send us a message of some sort, and, they attacked us. They tried to sink the ship as best they could. The torpedo, by all naval accounts, should have sunk the ship. But it was miraculous that we didn't sink, and I believe it meant for us to tell this story, that America must realize that there's something very wrong here, that the crew of the Liberty will not lie. The government has tried to cover up this attack in the worst way. They have lied and forged legal matters to make it appear that the Israelis were that the attack was accidental, fog of war type of thing, and it wasn't. It was deliberate. It was planned, and it was vicious. in the worst way. As I said earlier, the USS Liberty was not a man of war. They could have sent the three torpedoed boats out and told us to leave the area. They could have threatened to fire on us if we didn't move or didn't do what they told us to do. But that never happened. They never communicated with us. We were just target practice for the afternoon of June 8th.
And they do have the means to communicate with you in every way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, while we found out that they were jamming our frequency, so they knew exactly what frequencies that we communicated on, and they were jamming those frequencies. But that's another story about the incident. But they knew what they were doing. This was a military operation, and they planned it very well. The only problem was the ship did not sink, and I'm here to tell the story.
Thank God that you're here to tell the story, and thank God that there's a lot of others that did survive. But the thing is, it was Israel that had the war plan to go to war against the Palestinians and the Egyptians and the Syrians and the Jordanians. So it wasn't the other way around, as most Israelis would like to tell you, oh, we were attacked by the Arabs. It's the other way around. It was the Israelis attacking.
They fired the first shot. June 5th, their Air Force, that was the first mode of attack. They early in the morning, the attack aircraft went up and took out the air forces, as I said, of Syria, Egypt, and Jordan. So they, from the get-go, they had air superiority. And that's an undeniable fact that they fired the first shot.
So what do you think about Israel playing the victim all the time when, for an in-hand fact that it's the other way around?
The USS Liberty incident is a microcosm to a much bigger problem that we're faced with in America. And our news media has manipulated this story and many others to make Israel seem like they're the underdog. They're struggling to overcome the fanatical Islamics. I realize they do have their problems and they do have a right to exist. I'll give them that. But they have never. Or they have not shown any compassion towards the situation to the Palestinians. And more important than anything else, our Congress has failed to take note of the things that Israel has done. And that's one of the points about the Liberty attack that's so important, because there's a constitutional instruction that says that the House of Representatives must investigate any ship that's attacked, any naval ship that's attacked in peacetime. And they have done that. This goes back to the piracy days. They have done that, okay, except for the USS Liberty. They have not investigated the Liberty. And I can say that, and our distractors want to point out that there's been something like 11 or 12 investigations, and which is nothing but hogwash. And I can say that because how could they have an investigation without calling the USS Liberty crew to testify under oath? Because we were the eyewitnesses, and that's never happened. So Congress are hiding behind their desks. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why would they not objectively want to know the truth of what happened. President Johnson went out, you know, he took the bull by the horns and made it seem like the attack was accidental. There was war crimes committed by the Israelis. They machine gunned their life rafts, which is against the Geneva Convention. Everything that we have done to bring this to light is either pushed aside or we're told if we
slept
do anything
under the carpet.
Yeah, and if we do anything, it's going to be considered anti-Semitic. So, and that brings up the issue of one of the reasons that I felt I had to write this book, I took the incidents that have occurred over the years, especially the latter part of, from the, say, the 20th century, which are really, really important to the reader, all right, of what has happened to us. In other words, the USS Liberty is the most decorated naval ship in the history of the Navy for a single engagement. Our captain was given the Congressional Medal of Honor. We received a Presidential Unit Citation. And with all the Purple Hearts, as I said, it was 174 wounded, and 34 were killed. The Navy does not appreciate the crew of the USS Liberty. We're given lip service. We have a memorial once a year, and they will give us, or they'll send to us a chaplain and an occasional trumpeter to play taps, things like that. But as far as raising the issue of the attack itself, they distanced themselves from us, as well as the rest of the Pentagon. We are some sort of, we're a thorn in their side from many different ways. And that's the point that I want America to realize, that this bigotry is taking place towards us, okay, for a reason. And America needs to wake up and realize what that reason is. In other words, when I give a speech about the USS Liberty and I tell the truth, I'm labeled as an anti-Semite. I have been called a conspiracy theorist and other names. Even though I'm an eyewitness, and I'll give you the facts as I remember them as accurately as I can, people don't want to believe it because they, in their hearts of hearts, they want to believe that Israel is this wonderful country that is our ally. But they fail to realize, by looking at the facts as we know it, they will commit they'll do whatever they have to fulfill whatever mission it is they feel they have to fulfill. They're a sovereign country, and the reason I'm so vocal is I don't want another USS Liberty to occur again, or an American aircraft,
or 9/11, or another 9/11, or any other false flag attempt that has been happening and hasn't been investigated.
Right.
It seems like the Zionist media has got this nation conditioned to the point of no return, whether it's through them sending agents into the churches and turning people around, or if it's the media just keeping the somber sheep sleeping.
You have a point. The control on America is pretty well locked up, with the exception of the internet, and we're slowly getting the word out. And there's been a number of other books written about the USS Liberty. If people would focus on the Liberty, what happened to the crew, the details of the attack, and then follow that up by all the things that the U.S. government has done to protect the relationship with Israel versus honoring the crew of the USS Liberty. There's an underlying reason for this, and that's got to be looked at. It's got to be analyzed. Why won't Congress? Let me throw this thought out. Jonathan Pollard has been jailed. He's a traitor. And he did tremendous damage to our intelligence operation, especially in the Soviet Union. And he gave Israel secrets that the Mossad then took that information and traded that information with the Soviets to gain visas so that more Soviet Jews could immigrate to Israel. He had, by doing that, the secret that he gave the Soviets had our agents that were in place murdered by the Soviets. And anyone in Congress should know how badly he hurt our intelligence operation. Now, he's in jail, and about a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago, 40 congressmen composed a letter asking President Obama to pardon Pollard. Now, these 40, and I have their names, they're in my book, the 40 names of those congressmen, are they Israeli or are they Americans? How could they possibly ask to have Pollard released or given a pardon when they've done so much damage to the United States? What has happened to this country?
Well, we'll get right back on that as soon as we come back. Ernie, we need to take a quick break. This is Rock Cash with our guest, Ernest Gallo, survivor of the USS Liberty, and our awesome host and sound engineer, Don Newsome, on BBS Radio Network. This is The People Speak.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
This is Rock Cash, and this is The People Speak Radio, back with our guest, Ernest Gallo, and our awesome engineer, Don Newsom. Ernest, welcome back. When we left off, we were discussing why Congress hasn't done anything and how there was a lot of bigotry towards the sailors of the USS Liberty. Can we talk more about that?
Absolutely. Let me focus on a point that sets everything up for the future. Okay. The Navy Court of Inquiry that took place in Malta right after we were attacked. The leader or the chair of the Navy Court of Inquiry was Admiral Rear Admiral Kidd, and the Navy Council for the Navy Court of Inquiry was Captain Ward Boston. And there were two other senior officers that came out to the Liberty to hold this court of inquiry. The Navy Court of Inquiry was a farce. It was the White House had told Kidd and Ward Boston that they'll come to the conclusion that it was an accidental attack, that they were to take the evidence and do whatever they had to make sure that was the conclusion of the inquiry. So that was, that is breaking a law, by interference at the highest level. Instead of taking months, and to be very precise about the report, the investigation took about a week, and then it was rushed to London, where Senator McCain's father was the admiral in charge, and everybody answered to him. And there was another League of Council that got involved, the Admiral McCain's council, and that was Captain Merlin Starring. He later became Rear Admiral Starring, and the Navy JAG, and looking at the Navy Court of Inquiry, he realized that something that wasn't right. And he was vocal and telling Ward Boston that there was a problem with the report, and the report was taken from him, and he was not allowed to approve it. And Admiral McCain sent the report to Washington like they were told to do. Now, all of this was kept quiet for years and years. And finally, Captain Ward Boston, before his demise, he gave us a sworn affidavit indicating what I just told you, that the inquiry was falsified. Specific facts about the attack were dropped or changed. Our logbook had information that would have been very pertinent to the attack was dropped. The fact that they machine gunned our life rafts was taken out, and in other words, it was whitewashed. So my point I'm trying to make here is that our government went to extremes to set this up, and this legal document is the document they hang their hat on today. So the Liberty Crew points to the facts that are incorrect and wrong, and they're out and out lies. Then we get labeled anti-Semitic. The people that want to support Israel and that are in power will do their utmost to make sure that our message is subdued or.
Well, I don't think that it's from their love of Israel. I think it's from their love of money that their pockets are lined very heavily that they do so.
What I'm trying to say here is that there are people as passionate as I am that support Israel and do whatever they have to, even though they're Americans, that they'll do whatever they have to, money or not. In other words, the passion is there, that they want to believe in no uncertain terms that Israel is the saint that walks the Palestinian land.
Right.
That they can do no wrong.
Well, the thing is, when you look at everything that's coming out now with the books of where the Israelis are really from and who the real Jews are, and Israeli historians that are coming out and saying this, the real Jews are the Palestinian Christians and Muslims that were there in the first place. And the Europeans that came over are just converts to the religion and have nothing to do with the creed. But I need to take messages from people we have waiting. I have a caller online. Mike, I don't know where he's from. Mike, can you mention where you're from before you ask the question, please?
Oh, thank you very much. This is Mike in California. Hello, Ernie. Ernie, you know, I have to, I've researched, the USS Liberty and what seems to me to be a deliberate, premeditated betrayal of the, crew of the USS Liberty. You mentioned Admiral John McCain, who is the father, isn't he, of the present Senator John McCain. And as I understand it, Admiral McCain had pre-knowledge, or he had a warning. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, I believe, sent a message to him telling him to move the USS Liberty 100 miles further from where you were, and he failed to deliver that warning or message to the USS Liberty. And that leads me to believe he may have perhaps known what was going to happen and allowed it to happen. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as I said earlier, no, I personally investigated that message being sent. Following the Navy, I spent 28 years with the CIA in Office of Communications. And I traced that message, and I know that that message was misrouted. In other words, it wasn't delivered. It was a series of mistakes, and we just never got the message. As much as I would want to pin something on Admiral McCain, I can't pin that one on him.
There are many things, though, that you could pin on. I must ask you one more question. With this, what you know about the government's deliberate attempt to cover up and, in fact, excuse Israel's behavior on that day, that criminal behavior, are you now and are many of the survivors of the USS Liberty suspect of the U.S. government in other dealings such as 9/11, such as everything else, the what led up to the Iraq War, etc.? Do you trust your government less, having been what you've been through?
You're hitting a nerve, because if I had known some of the facts about what had transpired on the USS Liberty, I maybe would not have gone to the CIA, but I'm glad I did, because I have found that the folks there are passionate and deeply American, and they would never do anything that would harm Americans. That's just the opposite. These are people doing their utmost to protect America, and in a lot of cases, giving up their lives to do so. I have mixed feelings about trusting our government. Sometimes I do, and then other times I don't. Since I'm president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association, I try and tell the crew that when they give speeches and are asked questions about 9/11, we're not subject matter experts in those areas, and we should really stay out of it. In other words, to talk about things that we've experienced and know for sure.
But Ernie, you've experienced perhaps the deepest level of betrayal that a person who serves this country can experience. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, as far as the U.S. Liberty is concerned, yes.
Yes. And if it's happened that once before, it probably has happened before and will happen again. That's my point.
No argument there. I realize that, Benghazi is another subject I would love to talk about, because I traveled from embassy to embassy, and I know how dangerous things can get, and you depend on the senior people in our government to be on the lookout to prevent things like that from happening.
Ernie, one last question. You continue to do what you do, and so do all of those survivors. You do it because it's the right thing to do, I would assume, and it's because, you know, you believe in it so much. Do you have any hopes of ever achieving some kind of justice?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe that the reason the Liberty was it did not sink, and that not all hands were lost. There would have been, in other words, the fact that the Israelis used a torpedo was the willful attempted murder of 294 Americans. I was a matter of a few feet away from where the torpedo had gone off. And and all of the things that have happened to my life and the bigotry that I've experienced from it, it's the passion that keeps me going, and the fact that I truly believe in my heart of hearts that the Lord wants this story told, so that America can finally break loose of this control that is affecting our world and Palestine and our troops and everything else.
Thank you so much, Ernie.
Thank you. And thank you, Mike. Ernie, there seems to be a lot more cover-ups on the Israeli issue. There was some reports that never came up during 9/11 about the dancing Israelis on rooftops and Israelis that were pulled over in a van full of explosives. Things of that nature never came up. So there seems to be more cover-ups by our government because for some reason I believe that they're doing what the bankers are telling them to do and that our senior officers or officials have no control whatsoever. Because if they don't do what they want them to do, they're going to be destroyed. What do you, think about that yourself?
Well, I agree that there are cover-ups that are occurring every day. And both parties and administrations, since Johnson. There's an art to it because, some of it is necessary in the Cold War days. And there's certain things that need to be kept secret. So if it means, covering something up, then for the sake of American continuing to exist, safely, then so be it. I really can't comment on 9/11 because, as I said before, I am not a subject matter expert, so I really can't say anything about what Israel did or didn't do.
Right, but we can definitely talk about the cover-ups and maybe different cover-ups that you might have noticed with your time in service that might pertain to anything else that might have happened here in the U.S. with different cover-ups. As you said, you were in the intelligence field, so I'm gathering you had a little bit more knowledge being in the intelligence field.
Well, the CIA is the tripwire for protecting America to all the bad people out there that want to see us go under. And there are men and women out there every day risking their lives to gather that intelligence. I'm so very proud of the people that I worked with there, and the things that had to be done. I hate to see NSA, CIA, DIA, any of those intelligence organizations misused or uncharacteristically slandered, because they're trying so hard to protect America.
Oh well, good. You touched a point on the NSA. What do you think of the recent prism scandals and them tapping in on the American public?
That needs to be looked at by Congress, and the oversight committees is the instrument that should do that. And the laws, there were laws written so that it shouldn't be misused, and it's up to Congress to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Well, let me just put it this way: if a government needs to spy in on its own people, as Hitler needed to spy in on his people, there is something wrong. When the Secret Service goes from being a Secret Service of protecting the president to the SS, there's something definitely wrong with the picture. I've got one last caller on the line, Dove from Washington on line one.
Yes, hi, Mr. Gallo. It's an honor listening to you. I have a couple of questions. How many survivors are left? What are their approximate ages? What legal avenues are you heading towards? And are you, I've heard you say a few things that reminded me of the website Veterans Today. Any comments on them? Because they were brought up a couple of issues, and they were slapped with the anti-Semitic moniker, which is actually so ridiculous to call these veterans anti-Semitic. So just a couple of things. How many left, their ages, legal avenues, and Veterans Today. Thanks. I'll hang up, Ernie. Nice to hear you.
Thank you. I believe there's about 150 of us left, maybe 70 that are active, participating in our association. And our ages, well, I'm 69, so let's say they're 65 and older. Some of our officers were from World War II, so the spectrum of age is, I guess, starting with, I guess, around maybe 65. As far as where we'd like to, I personally, as president of the U.S.'s Liberty Veterans Association, would love to find a legal firm that would take on our case, because I think we do have a case, and I would jump for joy to sit down with people that are familiar with international law, and see where we could go with this. Israel and satisfying the diplomatic problem, lied to our country in saying that it was a accidental attack. So any agreements that were done as far as I'm concerned, is erroneous because it's based on a lie.
Ernest, I don't know if you're familiar with Vincent Bugliosi. Now, he's coming out with a movie called The Prosecution of an American President. He also wrote the book The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, because George W. Bush and his administration lied to the American people about going to war. But as I watched the movie and I watched him testifying in front of Congress, he was being stonewalled by Congress. Can you... we're being stonewalled just as badly as your people were being stonewalled by Congress. And this really isn't a government that is really working for the people anymore. And I'm sure you've noticed this as much as I've noticed this.
Oh, absolutely. Our encounters with Congress is, it's really, I tell the story about, Senator John Warner, was good friends with, Admiral Starring and a Colonel Barrett Taylor, who were Liberty supporters. And they wrote to, Senator Warner, asking him to please listen to the crew and listen to what we had to say. So we got invited to go to the Senate Armed Services Committee. He was chairman of the Armed Services Committee at the time. And he set up a meeting with three of their lawyers to listen to the evidence that we had to prove that the attack was deliberate. And we did that. And I think the lawyers were convinced, and they went to Senator Warner, provided and told them what they found out. And his reply was, well, I'm only one senator amongst many. Besides which, he had friends in positions that if he supported us, they would feel like he was stabbing them in the back. So, and so many other accounts where the congressman had paid us, been very diplomatic and very nice, but would not do anything for us. The stone wall is a brick wall in Congress, and people need to know that. They need to understand and ask themselves why. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to the crew of the most decorated naval ship of all times?
Because they don't want to show the American people what the Israelis are all about. See, you can only deceive people if there is deception. And that seems to be the entire existence of the Israeli state, and that is deception. With that being said, Ernie, I want to thank you so much for your time. And maybe we can have you on again, and we'll go on with more of the subject. And Ernie's book is Liberty and Justices. So make sure you go out and grab a copy. Ernie, thanks again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next week, we've got James Tagg, eyewitness, the third injury victim on the day of JFK was killed, speaks about LBJ and J. Edgar Hoover's conspiracy. Have a good evening, folks. This is Rock Cash, the People Speak Radio on the BBS Radio Network. And thanks to our engineer, Don Newsom. See you next week.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the stable by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.